What a wonderful praise song. My goodness. That kind of just sums up everything that I'm going to say. We can pray and go home. All right. Now I get you to respond when I say something like that. Yeah. I'm not going to let you do it, though. We'll just stick around for a minute, though. Wow. How wonderful it is. I hope God's already spoken to your heart. He has mine, and I've looked forward to today and just being able to share another message with you. Things that God does in my life, just kind of working in my life. I trust that God's been working in your life this week. That there's something fresh that comes from hanging out with God. Look, you have to talk to your Bible to get your Bible to talk to you.
Amen.
That's right.
Did that go, shoot? Yeah, and so it's okay to talk to your Bible. Warren Risby wrote a book about imagination and preaching. That's where what I'm kind of doing in these 5 weeks is telling the story and getting our imagination. So I need you to kind of work with me today. The series is Stepping into His Story. And so week before last, we talked about sitting at the oasis of hope. That was the woman at the well. Last week, I talked about Zacchaeus, standing tall, a little guy standing tall. This week, I want to talk to you about a paralytic. And so I want to ask you if you will kind of visualize. You will remember the sermon if you visualize the scripture. It's not important what I say, but it's important what you get out of this, that God wants you to have out of this. So if you will just kind of visualize the scriptures that we're going to talk about today, and kind of step into this, and because I'm going to talk about the marketplace. So use all five of your senses when we talk about the marketplace. Your eyes, your ears, hear the sounds, the smells of the food and the animals, and then the sense of touching the fruit and things that you're going to buy or things that you're tasting that you bought in the market. And then we're going to talk about some characters today that are in this story that Jesus tells us. And when I do that, I'd like for you to be able to engage or activate your emotions. And if you activate your emotions, I kind of want you to feel like some of the people in the story feel. So when I get there, just be alert that I'll try to describe some of their emotions that they're having. So here again, step into the story with me. Lord Jesus, we come. These are your words. You make your word come alive and cause us to be able to visualize this, cause us to be able to use our senses in this, cause us to engage and activate our emotions in this so that this gets in our heart, this gets in our memory, so that we can escape what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5, we're going to look at this. There's kind of a backstory that goes on. If you start in chapter 5, Jesus is there, he's teaching, there's a crowd that comes, the crowd gets so big that he steps into a boat, Peter's boat. There are two boats that are there, James and John are in one boat. I imagine it's Peter and Andrew in the other boat. And then he pushes out because, you know, the voice carries on water, and so he wants the crowd to hear. So he is speaking to them the words of life, God's word. And Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they're tired. They fished all night, and they're just there. You know, if you're tired and you're kind of sleepy and you're kind of weary, if you're in a boat and the boat's rocking a little bit, Jesus is teaching. Every once in a while, you have to shake yourself and listen. But it's an engaging conversation that Jesus is having with the crowd as he teaches them. And then Jesus tells them, okay, while we're out here, just cast your nets. Let's fish. And Peter says, no. We've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. Jesus says, let's give it another try. When they give it another try, fish come from everywhere to jump in those nets. And Peter hollers over to James and John, says, you got to help us. Our net's going to break. So join us in this fishing. So that was one of those miracles. And finally, Peter just falls to Jesus' knees. And he says, this, go away from me, because I'm a sinful man. So one of the things that I want us to take away from here today is do kind of an inventory on our sin. Jesus hadn't said anything to Peter about his sin, but Jesus in the boat with you. If you're a sinner, God's in the boat with you, you're going to recognize there's some sin. So that's exactly what happened. From there, Jesus moves on to another in verse 12. He said, when Jesus was in one of the towns, there came a guy who was a leper. Who, you know, banned. They have to call out, leper, 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 as they're coming in. And this guy's got leprosy. And nobody wants to be around him. It's worse than corona, just let me tell you about that. And so he engages Jesus. And Jesus is not afraid to touch him, not afraid to talk to him. He's just engaged with Jesus. And the conversation goes on, and Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, because Jesus said, I'm willing. And he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy was gone. And so Jesus says, now be keepers of the law. Do what the law tells you to do. So go to the priest, show the priest what, tell the priest what's happened, do all the sacrifice, do everything you're supposed to do. So you're clean, okay? So there's not, listen, so there's not guilt behind what's been done. You've not skipped any of the steps. You've followed the steps. Now let me tell you about the Word of God. Follow the steps. You're starting in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes, the attitudes that ought to be in us. That'd be pretty good. So do that. And then all of a sudden, word gets out that Jesus is a healer. Jesus is the teacher. He's the master teacher. And he's drawing crowds. Now that brings us to Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And by the way, there's a companion passage to this. It is Mark chapter 2. So I know where this is. Luke doesn't tell us where it is. Mark tells us that it's in Capernaum. Mark also tells us that there are four friends that are involved in this. And so I'll be including that in part of the story that I'm going to tell you today. And so it says, one day Jesus. By the way, when I say Jesus, what did that do to your emotions? Look, Cheryl and I were trying to decide where to go eat Friday, and so we're naming off some places, and I'm looking at her, and she names one of the places that's kind of my favorite, and my eyes twinkle. She said, I know where you want to go. That's Jesus. When does that do something to your emotions when I say Jesus, or you say, that's why I say you got to talk to the Bible. And the Bible will talk back to you. So, what's your picture of Jesus here? Well, this is a happy Jesus, okay? This is a teacher. This is a healer. This is a miracle worker. This is, some they say, is an itinerant preacher. There's some that's saying, well, he's nothing more than a teacher. But look what happens here. One day, Jesus was teaching. Oh, by the way, when Jesus taught, there were three reactions: mad, sad, or glad. And all of those are in here. Now, when you leave today, I want you to be one of those. Either mad, sad, or glad. Okay? You've got to have your emotions. And by the way, we ought to be challenged each time by the Word of God. And so, one day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees, these are people that are not happy. The Pharisees are the rule enforcers and the teachers. So one day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers. The teachers are the rule keepers. So the Pharisees are enforcing the rules. The teachers are keeping the rules. And you, in the crowd, you're supposed to keep the rules. And if you don't, we're going to judge you. You know what that is? That's a self-righteous attitude. I'm better than you are. In fact, I'm so much better than you are, I got better clothes. Because see, the Pharisees, they had these robes. They wanted recognition. They went around town, and they would be pious, and they would pray, and they would use all of these holy terms that got them nowhere. Because on the inside, they're sad. Because they've lost any joy that they've had, because the rules replace the joy. And if you get caught up in rules, you're going to lose your joy too. So one day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. Now look at this. They had come from every village in Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem. Now, who is the they? The Pharisees. Why are they coming? Because we don't like Jesus. Jesus is more popular than we are. Jesus is more famous than we are. Jesus doesn't keep the rules. And so they've come so that they can catch him in a mistake that they will call blasphemy. And can you believe this? They came with a judgmental, self-righteous attitude. Anybody here got that? Oh, maybe you better raise the left hand instead of the right hand. But listen, don't we have a judgmental attitude?
Yes.
Have you thought about our culture today? Have you watched, when Cheryl and I, we signed off the news. If something happens, let me know. But my emotions, I started stepping into the news rather than stepping into the scriptures.
Right.
And I'd get upset. Because maybe some of the people I like, they don't like. And the news seems to be wanting to take everybody down. I mean, have they been building you up? Who is contributing to building America up and unifying the Christian church? It's all we're attacking one another. This week, well, was it last night? I can't remember. You see this gray hair, so I don't know if it's Friday or Saturday. So today is Sunday, right? Good. I'm in the right place.
Right.
Okay. My wife was reading to me about one of the teachers, godly teachers, and she said, this person is being attacked. And she read to me how this godly teacher was being attacked, and I said, I don't believe that. I know this teacher better than that. And it was some people who I believe didn't have the facts that are trying to take this teacher down. Now look, if the teacher's way outside and doing heresy and things like that, ought to. But let me go on. I'm just saying that. That's the Pharisees taking somebody down. The teachers of the law taking somebody down. And so on that day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there, and they, all of them, had come from the villages in Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. By the way, Jerusalem's where the religious elite hang out, okay? So these are some of the elite Pharisees and teachers that are here. And they've come to catch Jesus in a mistake, to accuse him of blasphemy, to take him down so that his ministry's nullified because he keeps drawing these huge crowds. And look at this. And the power of the Lord. You see that word Lord? Do y'all ever think about this, the word Lord? Sometimes we read the word Lord and we think about Jesus. Sometimes we read the word Lord and we think about God the Father. Well, look, you know, Jesus, God the Father, hey, I can't explain the Trinity. The Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they're all one. But they are three expressions of one God, okay? Jesus on the cross paid the atonement for the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus said, it's better that I go away, because if I don't go away, you don't get the Holy Spirit, you don't get the Comforter that comes. Can't explain all that, but by faith I've received that. So here it says right here, and the power of the Lord, the sovereign, the one who never makes a mistake, the one who knows everything, the one who is always, always right, the sovereign, the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but the people in the crowd knows what that looks like because they were there. And there's just something. Look with me. Step into the story. Look into the eyes of Jesus. What do you see? Do you see somebody who's condemning? You see somebody who's angry? You see somebody who's critical? You see somebody who's suffering? No! When you look into his eyes, well, first of all, you got to smile. By the way, if you want to be like Jesus, try smiling. That's a good first start. And but just looking at Jesus' eyes, they're kind of x-ray eyes. Because he doesn't just see on the outside. He looks on the inside to the heart. And so the power of the Lord was on Jesus to heal the sick. All right, we've got to smile. We've got comforting words. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody who just was loving and joyful?
Yes.
If you were here Wednesday night, this is the comment I made to Mike Domke, our missionaries to the Ukraine that came and they spoke here Wednesday night. And their family was happy when they got through. I told Mike, I said, your family just has an aura of happiness with it. Have you ever been in a room with people who have spiritual indigestion?
Yes.
I mean, really. How does that make you feel? And so you're in the room. The crowd is in the room with Jesus, and he's happy. He's happy because he has something to say that's going to change people's lives, and he knows what's going on. Look at this. So we got Jesus, we got the Pharisees, we got the teachers of the law, we've got the crowd, and now some men, look at this, verse 18. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man. Now, for me, I ask you to step into the story, to put your imagination into the story, to just put your whole being into it. Well, for me to do that, I give people names that aren't in here, because it helps me to step into the story. If I can think about somebody personally, it helps me to talk to the Bible. The Bible talks back to me. So, have you ever thought about selecting four friends out of the Bible that you'd like to hang out with when you get to heaven?
Yes.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Well, I think I'm strange, okay. But I think about things like this all the time. So I chose my four friends. Because, see, Mark said there are four friends. This one says some men. And so I selected Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Josiah. Y'all know them. Y'all want to know my friends? Well, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are friends of Daniel. You remember that? And Josiah was king of Judah. Josiah is the one who found the book of the law, the Old Testament, in the temple that had been forgotten. How do you do that? How do you get into church and worship and forget why you're there? I won't ask y'all that because you might tell me, okay? But here's the thing. Josiah, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I think Hananiah was in my mind, okay? Don't go out of here and say that I knew these guys, their names. I didn't. I made this up, so okay? Because it gives personality to it. I think, oh, by the way, the reason I chose them, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Josiah, they were all young. And they were handsome. And they were wise. And they were knowledgeable. And they were teachable. And they were friends of Daniel. And Daniel is a hero, folks. And Josiah was, he had a tender heart when he went into the temple to seek. Okay, so here they are. I think Hananiah is the spokesman of the group. He's the leader of the group. And it says, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. Well, how did they get there? Okay, this is my imagination. Here, Hananiah's a merchant in the market. And his other friends, Mishael, Azariah, and Josiah, they're in the market too. They have, you know, these little booths and things like that. And so here comes this young boy coming through town, running through town, and he's saying, the teacher's coming, the teacher's coming. And so somebody says, what teacher's coming? He says, the one that's the healer. You know, the one they say that's the miracle worker. He's coming. And boy, Hananiah's ears went up. And he thought, wow, I want to see you. See, I think probably for me, the four guys that Mark talks about probably had some kind of interaction with Jesus, because they knew that if they didn't get, oh, I didn't tell you who the guy is on the pallet, did I? You know, think about this. They're going to take him, put him on the pallet, on the stretcher, take him to the roof, let him down. I named him Rufus.
Okay.
I can remember that. Oh, but do you know who Rufus is? Why I named him Rufus? Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross of Jesus. You remember that? He had his children with him when he was pulled out of the crowd by the Roman soldier to carry a cross. His son was Rufus. There's also an account of Paul, I think it's in Romans 16, where Rufus shows up in Rome. I think maybe it's the same person. He's just an adult now. So we've got Rufus on the pallet. So here is Hananiah, and when he hears that Jesus is coming in, he covers up his wares, he closes up his shop, and he steps out because the crowd is coming by. And as the crowd is coming by, he joins the crowd, and then all of a sudden he has this thought, as if it were his thought. You ever had one of those?
Yeah. Yeah.
A thought that you thought was your thought, but that thought was God's thought.
Amen.
I think it was a God thought. And Hananiah says, ooh, Rufus. This is Rufus's day. If we don't get Rufus to Jesus, he may be a paralytic for the rest of his life. Oh, who is we? I can help Rufus if somebody will help me help Rufus. And so, oh, who are his friends? Michelle, Azariah, and Josiah. So he seeks Michelle, Azariah, and Josiah, go gets him and says, look, we got to help Rufus. Oh, yeah. Let's put together a stretcher. Let's put Rufus on the stretcher. Let's take him to where Jesus is. Well, because the crowd is already gone, and the house is full, the windows are open, the yard is full. There are people crowded. Oh, my. People are crowded. Look at the crowd. Think about the crowd. There's some old folks in the crowd. There's some young folks in the crowd. There's some sick people in the crowd that are in pain. There's some kids in the crowd that are sitting in the laps of their parents. There's a selection. You know who's here. The Pharisees and the teachers, they've come to criticize him, to catch him. And they're kind of gathered to themselves over to the side, over near the wall over there. And they're just waiting. And they're in the crowd. And so when Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Josiah get there with Rufus on the pallet, on the stretcher, they can't get in because everybody's so close together and everybody's, it's like nobody wants me to get Rufus in. It really wasn't a welcoming crowd that was there. It was a curious crowd that was there. And so they pushed, but they couldn't get through. So I don't know how they got up on the roof. I don't know if there was any stairs going up the roof. They had to get a ladder. How do you take a stretcher up a ladder? I don't know. So I'm guessing there's some stairs, and they go up the stairs because the roof is sturdy. We know the roof is sturdy because it didn't fall through. We know the roof was made out of tile, so it was very sturdy. And so they go up on the roof. Look at this. And some men carrying a paralytic man on a mat tried to take him to the into the house and lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. So they've gone up those steps if they're on the side of the house. And, you know, in the evenings in this culture, they would go up on the tops of the roofs because there would be more of a breeze. And so I'm picturing that's kind of this situation. So they go up and they look around. They must have been engineers. You know, I mean, can you imagine? You're looking at, you can see Jesus. You can't get to Jesus from the crowd because you can look in the window, or you can try to stand in the door, or you can move around. And they're trying to sum up, how far are we from Jesus? Plan B, we can't go through here. We got to go up there. Plan B. So they go up there. They get up there and they think, okay, they start walking. Get up. Jesus must, okay, this must be right about where Jesus is. And so they start lifting up a tile. And when they lift up a tile, they look in right on, got the right tile. So they move about six tiles. And Jesus, the rabbis always sat down to teach. So Jesus is seated and he's teaching. He's not even distracted by what's going on above him. Now, every once in a while, people are looking up there, but they're really giving their attention to Jesus because never a man spoke that has had such authority as this man, and his words were penetrating. And so some more tiles come off, some dust comes down, maybe debris besides the dust didn't distract Jesus. And so finally they've got the tiles removed. By the way, that may be the first sunroof. Anyway, wasn't portable. But sunroof, S-O-N and S-U-N. To get the, what just happened? Look at that light coming down on Jesus. It's like he's under the spotlight. Wow. Everybody's attention now is on Jesus with the light. And how they begin to let him down just in front of Jesus as Jesus continues to talk. And this is amazing right here. And the tiles in the middle of the roof and the crowd, they let him down right in front of Jesus. And verse 20 says, when Jesus saw, my Bible says, their faith, not the faith of Rufus, but Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Josiah. When Jesus saw their faith, this is faithful friends. Friends who are full of faith. What kind of friends are yours? Fickle or faithful? I mean, really. Well, do you have those 3:30 in the morning friends? If something happens, you can call them and you know they'll come over. Well, you've got to be one of those for you to have one of those. So put all this together and see how this unfolds right here. And when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus is looking up through the sunroof, and he sees these guys now. Probably he makes eye contact. Can you imagine? They're looking down through the roof, and Jesus just looks up. Look. I wonder if Jesus did this.
Yeah.
I got you. I see you. Or maybe he did a thumbs up. But there was some kind of acknowledgement because Jesus saw their faith.
Amen.
And then he addresses all of his attention to the guy who is in front of him. Isn't it that? Now, I've got the NIV, the New International Version, okay? And it says right here, friend. That's the word. That's the first word right there after Jesus saw their faith. He said to Rufus, friend. Oh, we've got a connection here now. Friend, your sins are forgiven you. Now, wait a minute. Did Rufus come to get his sins forgiven? No. He came to get healed. But you got to start with step one. What's between you and Jesus so that all the healing can take place?
Amen.
Is it a secret sin?
That's right.
Is it? I think we're guilty of more secret sins than we are public sins.
That's right.
And I think Jesus knew exactly what was in the heart of Rufus. He'd already said, I see their faith. Now, Rufus, let's deal with you. And he says to Rufus, friend, your sins are forgiven. Listen, let me tell you something. Had you been in that room, you would have seen the crowd over here, the Pharisees and the teachers. You would have seen them just push themselves over toward the wall and stand. Because I want Jesus to know I'm here, and I want him to know I'm not agreeing with this. And they crossed their hands, arms, and they looked at him. They fired arrows out of their eyes toward the Son of God in that room. When Jesus said, friend, your sins are forgiven, we've got him. He can't do that. That's blasphemy. Excuse me. That was shockwave number one. It's not over with. Friend, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees, look at the next verse, 21. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves. They didn't say anything to one another. We've got Jesus forgiving sins, and now we've got Jesus in the room with the Pharisees and the teachers hearing what they think. You think you've been getting away with something? No go. He knows what you do in secret.
That's right.
He knows what you think. That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
How about us clearing up some of these thoughts?
Yes.
Wow. Friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers, why didn't they get happy? I mean, there's some joy in the crowd that's building now. Why are you thinking these things in your heart? This is a matter, it's not a matter of your head and your thought waves. It's a matter of your heart and your hardness and your coldness of heart. Why are you thinking these things? And Verse 22, Jesus knew what they were thinking, and they asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Jesus said this, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want to tell you that the Son of Man, stay with me on this, Son of Man is a title for Jesus. It is the God incarnate. It's the God-man. It's God born in Bethlehem through the Virgin Mary. But look at what he says. It's not just somebody who's a teacher, not just somebody who's a miracle worker, but it's the person who has the authority. Look what he says right here. Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority. You know, we already talked about the word Lord, the sovereign. That the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Boy, that was a shockwave again. There's just reverberation going on here. So he said to the paralyzed, now we're getting to the reason of why Mishael, Azariah, Hananiah, and Josiah brought Rufus. Here it is. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. The next word in my Bible says immediately. I mean, do you think Rufus sat there looking around and think, is this going to work?
No.
No. You want, but you know what the word immediately means?
Now.
Immediately. Yes, now, right now. He jumped up. This is my interpretation. He jumped up because it says he stood up in front of them. In front of who? Oh, he jumped up in front of the Pharisees, the teachers. He jumped up in front of all the people that were doubters in here. He jumped up immediately and took the bed that he was lying on, and he went home praising God. Now look, stay with me just one more minute. He got up, he left, now he is healed. This is another of those shock waves that goes off. And so immediately he stood up and he in front of them. It didn't say immediately he went home. It said immediately he stood up, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. I think between what he'd been lying on and went home praising God, there's something else that happens. When he jumped up, he looked at Jesus, and then he looked up. Who did he see when he looked up? Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Josiah. They're looking down. Now, what do you think happened on their face? You want to talk about the biggest smile. You want to talk about loving one another from a distance, and you can love with your eyes. You can correct your kids with your eyes, right? You can love with your eyes, too. Okay? And he looked up, and there was a communication. Man, I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, friends, for bringing. I think he went outside and ran up the roof. And when he got to the roof, he hugged them. And he was already weeping. Tears of joy. And they began to weep. And they began to celebrate. Just to carry home the praise that he was already doing. And you know what he left behind in the crowd? A crowd praising God. Look at what it says right here. And he went home praising God. And everyone, verse 26, everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Excuse me, there's an exception here. The Cold Water Committee. The Pharisees, the teachers, the self-righteous, the judgmental, the critical. They're not happy that Rufus got healed, much less that he got his sins forgiven, because that's against their belief. They're not in control. See, that's the thing they want to be in control. Look, he got up, and I think he went up to the roof, and he went home praising God. Oh, when he got home praising God, what do you think he said? Y'all should have been there. Y'all should have been there. You should have said, look at me. This is real. It is me. This is me. I've been healed. Jesus healed me. Oh, and by the way, I don't think he could sleep that night. I think he was a peeping Tom. I think he went from home to home to home saying, look, I can't sleep. I got to tell you what happened to me today. It was me and Jesus and Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Josiah. And I've just got to tell you what happened to me. And praising God, and they were, this is the crowd now, and they were filled with awe. They didn't come expecting to see all of this. And they said this, we have seen remarkable things today. Do you have four friends?
Yes.
I mean, somebody who will carry your stretcher at 3 o'clock in the morning. Or somebody, when they know Jesus is coming, that their first thought would be, I got to get him to Jesus because this is his hope. And by the way, to be these friends, you've got to be faithful, full of faith. Jesus saw their faith. You've got to be bonded. There's got to be something in you, which if you're Christian, I know what that is. That's the bond of Christ. And he's pulling you toward these people. Look, I've got four friends. I got Gary. I got David. I got Jim. I've got Rick. I've got some people out of my life group that I can call at 3:30 in the morning because we're bonded. But what about you? Who are you going to call at 3:30 in the morning in the middle of a crisis? Is there anybody here who will carry my stretcher? That's what we ought to be asking. Is there anybody here that will carry my stretcher? Yes. His name is Jesus. He's here. We just sang about the way maker, the promise keeper, the miracle worker. He's here. The saddest thing about this story is that the Pharisees and the teachers and the self-righteous and the critical missed the rabbi, the Son of God, teaching. They missed, look at me, they missed the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right.
Because they were looking for criticism to take him down. Oh, the people that were there, they saw the way, the truth, and the life. But they tried taking him down. Now, how about you? Have you given control of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I assume the responsibility of my sin. I open my life and ask you to come in and save me. And if you're saved, have you said, Lord Jesus, I'll be a stretcher bearer. I'll be one of the four. I'll be faithful. I'll be full of faith. Or are you going to stand up here and say, I don't like the way they do it down there. They're not doing it my way. I'll go, but I won't be happy. What is it? Did you miss the way maker? The way, the truth, and the life. Lord Jesus, we bow before you right now. These are your people. This is your church. You're here. Your spirit is hovering over us. You have pronounced your word of forgiveness. You are drawing people. And God, would you help? Just don't let anybody resist. Would you just open hearts and make things right? And would you just save people? Would you renew their spirit of those that are sad and depressed and anxious and critical? And would you just draw the best out of us at this moment? So that we can make a commitment to you to have you in control. Oh God, 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 you are sovereign. You are Savior. You're Redeemer. Call the names. Call the names of all the people here. And help them to know if you're in control of their life or not. If they're saved or not. So speak, Lord Jesus, we're listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to be here at the front. Our staff will be here at the front. We will pray with you. This is holy ground right here. This is a place that you can come pray. We'll pray with you. This is, I don't know. You know what God has said to you. We're here, God's here, you respond. Let's stand together as we sing.